no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. Thanks for joining me this week. We'll begin our hour of radio drama with The Whistler. We'll hear his episode, Poor Henry, from September 18th, 1949. After that, it's The Zero Hour and Death at Half a Length, their story from June 3rd, 1974.
And now, stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. The Signal Oil program, The Whistler.
S-I-G-N-A-L.
Signal gasoline.
Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline, invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler. For extra driving pleasure, the signal to look for is the yellow and black circle sign that identifies signal service stations from Canada to Mexico. And for Sunday evening listening pleasure, the signal to listen for is this whistle that identifies the Signal Oil program, The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things. For I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now The Whistler's strange story, Poor Henry.
It's an even mile from Miss Whitehead's house, brooding somberly on the cliffs above the English Channel to the village. Ellen Lovelock had walked it often, but on this misty, waterlogged morning, she lagged a few paces behind her employer, who marched determinedly down the sodden path in her shapeless British tweed, her chin jutting out aggressively beneath her beak-like nose. Ellen was worried. The affair of last night had infuriated Miss Whitehead, and she was determined to see it through to the finish. An attitude she made amply clear to the village constable 2 minutes after she and Ellen arrived at his office.
The point is simply this, Constable Finley, as I told you this morning over the phone. Last night at approximately 12 o'clock, a prowler broke into my home.
Yes, I heard him
moving about in the sunroom, so I decided to investigate.
You hear him, Miss Ellen?
No, afraid I didn't.
She sleeps like a corpse.
But weren't you right next door to the sunroom, Miss Ellen?
Yes.
Will you two allow me to continue?
By all means, Miss Whitehead.
Very well. As I was saying, I heard this creature moving about. I approached the sunroom, determined to catch this blackguard in the act. But unfortunately, he heard me coming and leaped out the window. This man...
Well, you're certain it was a man?
His footprints were clearly visible in the mud below the window this morning. Isn't that right, Ellen?
Yes, that's right, I'm sorry.
I see. Was anything missing?
No. Unfortunately for his purposes, I chose to read late and heard him.
Well, it's hardly likely he'll return.
I agree with you,
Constable. On the contrary... It's very likely. Now that he's possessed an adequate inventory of the contents of my sunroom, it's highly probable he'll return very soon. He's after Grandfather's painting. I'm positive.
This prowler, Miss Whitehead, it's apparent he was well acquainted with your habits when you retire ordinarily and so
Quite
on.
Quite apparent.
I'd say this attempt to steal your grandfather's painting, well, it has certain characteristics of an inside job.
Are you
job.
Accusing my secretary here
I'm
of
not any... accusing anyone, Miss Whitehead. I'd like very much to question your chauffeur, Henry Macklin.
My chauffeur? Good heavens, why?
Because he happens to be a man with a prison record.
Just how did you happen to know that, Mr. Finley?
After I talked to you on the phone this morning, I phoned your secretary back to question her about Henry Macklin.
Ellen, what right did you to
tell
anyone?
Because I asked her specifically. You were suspicious of him.
I'm sorry, Miss Whitehead.
So am I, Ellen. I placed a trust in you. You violated it. Leaves me only one thing to do.
But Miss Whitehead...
Let's not have a scene. When we return to the house, I'll give you 2 weeks' pay in lieu of notice.
Miss Whitehead, you're discharging the girl?
Exactly.
Well, that's unfair. If only you'll listen to me.
Mr. Finley, I must remind you, this is none of your affair. Now, you'll please approve this permit. I'm going to purchase the revolver.
Just like that, Ellen. 3 years of service as Miss Whitehead's secretary. 3 years of daily battle with a jutting jaw and icy gray eyes ended in a snap of the finger. The old lady, coldly precise, snatches up her revolver permit and strides out of the office. Constable Finley, engulfed in the guilt complex, tries to make sympathetic noises, but he succeeds only in looking embarrassed. And you, Ellen, hurry out into the street to see where Miss Whitehead is. As you do, Miss Whitehead's car pulls in at the curb. Henry Macklin is at the wheel.
Morning, Miss Ellen.
What are you doing here, Henry?
Oh, thought the old girl might want me to drive her back to the house.
She would have called you, Henry.
Just saw her going into the gunsmith's with that look on her face. What's up?
Nothing that would interest you. You'll excuse me, Henry. I have a...
Want to ride back, Miss Ellen?
Thank you, no.
Miss Ellen?
Yes?
I was just thinking, there's an American film at the Croft tonight. I was just
Sorry,
wondering
Henry,
if you...
Sorry, Henry, I have an engagement.
Oh.
You walk away. Leave Henry staring stupidly after you. At the corner, you turn. Hurry down the street toward the Ram's Head Inn. As you move past, the figure detaches itself from the misty bulk, falls in step behind you.
Ellen.
Not here, Matt.
Down to the beach, then. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Matt. Of all night, she had to take it into her head to read a book.
So the old girl is buying a revolver, eh? Good thing she didn't have one last night. She's probably as efficient at offhand shooting as she is at everything else.
I suppose everything's ruined.
Oh, no, my dear. I'll admit our plans will have to be changed, but we're not giving up. I've spent a lot of time tracing down those paintings, and I'm not quitting now.
To try to steal them again, that would be dangerous.
Not particularly. You say she rarely looks at them. And even in the frames, they're small enough to fit in an average-sized trunk. They'll bring at least £100,000.
Are you certain, Matt?
Well, the old girl didn't give me much time in that sunroom. But I'm positive they're the ones, all right. Vermeer, a couple of Bruegels, and the others are mixed 17th century Flemish and Dutch minor masters.
You still think they can be sold on the open market? They're not catalogued.
I told you, Ellen, they were smuggled off the continent into England during World War I. After some very clever chap covered them with a resistant shellac and overlaid them with those stupid still lifes of fruit and potted plants.
Matt, couldn't you? I mean, go to see Miss Whitehead. Offer to buy them.
Oh, now, really. You know how she feels. Never break up a private art gallery. Heirloom. They belong to dear old grandpapa. What's the matter?
Darling, I've just thought of the most wonderful idea. Henry Macklin, he's it.
Henry?
Of course. He's the one to throw the police off our trail. The constable suspects him already.
Yes. You know, Ellen, that's a rather interesting thought. He's stolen before, he'll do it again.
He'll do anything for me, Matt. I'm sure of it. You still make arrangements to smuggle the paintings into France?
There's a boat skipper in London who'll help me out. For a fee.
Just think, darling. £100,000.
And we'll owe it all to Henry. Rather nasty trick to play on the lad, eh? Poor Henry.
Again this week, you Whistler fans have sent in some really choice limericks. So once again, Signal has asked me to skip the regular commercial in order to present $20 Signal gasoline books to three of you as tokens of our appreciation. The first one tonight goes to Alice Ray of Portland, Oregon, for this limerick. A thrifty young fellow named Joe, when asked how he saved so much dough, said, "With Signal, my friend, you go farther no end. You can bank on that, brother, I know."
Signal, Signal, Signal gasoline. Your car will go far with Go Farther gasoline.
Tonight's second $20 Signal gasoline book goes to Alan N. Sharp of Los Angeles for this limerick. There once was a farmer named Green who improved on his milking machine. Using Signal for power gets more milk per hour, and half of the stuff is pure cream.
Signal, Signal, Signal gasoline. Your car will go far with Go Farther gasoline.
Tonight's third $20 Signal gasoline book goes to Evelyn Eddington of Fontana, California for this limerick. Said Jack, "Not a cylinder's hitting. When I bought this old crate, I got bitten." Said Jill with a grin, "You weren't taken in. Try Signal. She'll purr like a kitten."
Signal, Signal, Signal gasoline. Your car will go far with Go Farther gasoline.
Well, that's all we have time for tonight, friends. But our thanks to all of you who sent in limericks.
Well, Ellen, poor Henry is going to have to face the music, isn't he? And only 2 days after the scene in the constable's office of planning with Mac, you have a general idea how the tune will sound. Henry Macklin, with a prison record at Dartmouth, stepped off the straight and narrow, burglarized the home of his benefactor, stealing, among other things, a collection of nondescript Victorian paintings from her sunroom. Henry is the perfect out. The most reasonable suspect. And with £100,000 waiting for you and Matt in the art markets of Paris, the decision to use Henry wasn't difficult.
Ellen, Ellen. Yes, Miss Whitehead, help me. I'm about to let
him curl
down.
Of course. While they insist on putting buttons where only a contortionist can reach them, I'll never know.
You are?
Oh, thank you. I'm going to lie down for a while now. The Courtneys are stopping by for me at 6. The garden club banquet at Stone Ridge, you know. Oh, that's a motor trip. This weather and with this beastly cold, I know I'm getting. Well, I really don't think I should go.
Oh, you shouldn't miss the banquet. I don't believe it'll rain.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Wake me at 5. If I do go, I'll spend the night at Stone Ridge. Stay with Helen Whitney. I haven't visited with her in quite a while.
Hello, Henry.
Oh, hello, Miss Ellen. Just cleaning up the carburetor a bit here.
Henry, I've come to say goodbye.
Goodbye? You're not going, Miss Ellen.
I'm afraid, sir. I've taken all I can say.
Oh, now, come.
It's no use, you know. I don't mind leaving her, really.
Well, she is an ill-tempered old girl.
But I do mind leaving you.
Hey?
I wasn't going to say anything, Henry, but somehow now that the time's come, I just can't go off without telling you.
Telling me what, Miss Ellen?
That I admire you very much.
Miss Ellen. Miss Ellen.
Henry, don't make it any worse.
I never knew.
I know. I thought you'd think I was foolish.
Foolish, Ellen, I...
Please. I'm going back to London. I'm going to try to find a new life. Start all over again.
But you can't go now.
Oh, it will be difficult. I don't have much money. Don't really know how I'll manage, but I've made up my mind. Maybe we'll meet again. I hope so.
We will, so help me. I'll
see you. If you're ever in London, I'll be staying at the Dorking Hotel.
The Dorking, yes, I know where it is, but...
I've got to go now, you know. Good heavens, I almost forgot what I came for. Miss Whitehead's misplaced the key to the vault in the library. She thought it might have fallen behind one of the cushions in the car.
Oh, that's strange.
She's a strange old lady. I think she'd be more careful with it. You know, there must be a couple of £1,000 of valuables in that vault.
A couple of £1,000? Huh. How careless of her.
The way his eyes light up, Ellen, tells you he'll do exactly what you expect. You leave Henry, move off the garden path and around to the garage window. Watch him paw frantically behind the cushions of the car. Find the key where you just left it, and then look around furtively and slip it into his pocket. The old lady's still asleep as you walk to your room. Open your trunk, and then you hurry around to the sunroom close by and unlock the door. One by one, you take the paintings from the wall and put them in the trunk, all 10 of them, with a stupid fruit and potted plants beginning to peel off, showing what lies underneath. £100,000, Ellen. Over $400,000 in American money. For a moment, you stand there looking into your trunk. It's golden cargo, and then...
Just a minute. Oh, Henry.
Miss Ellen, I just can't let you run off like this. It'll all work out. Really, it
let
will.
Let go of me. I told you I'd made up my mind,
but
Henry.
It's not right. It's not. Look here now.
You see, Henry, I'm all packed up. Now, what do you say? Let's get busy here. You can help me with the trunk.
I won't have it, that's what. I won't.
I'm going, Henry. That's all there is to it. Come on now. Let's move the trunk downstairs. Then I have to run down to the village and arrange for the express. By the way, did you find the key to the safe?
What? No, not yet.
Oh. Well, Miss Whitehead will want it tomorrow. She's taking her valuables into town. She's a little worried. That prowler the other night, you know.
Henry's denial of finding the key assures you of his intention. And now you've made it clear to him that tonight is his only chance. Promptly at 5, you awaken Miss Whitehead. Remind her that the Courtneys will be calling for her at 6. It's upsetting when she tells you she's decided not to go to the Garden Club banquet, that she intends to remain in bed for the rest of the evening. But going downstairs, you realize that Henry will still have the opportunity to rifle the safe. And that's all that's important. You go on to the village, giving him the run of the lower part of the house. You wander through the village for almost an hour and then contact the expressman.
Well, yes, Miss Lovelock, I suppose we could run out and pick up the trunk.
What train will it arrive on in London?
Expect we'll get it on the 7:28. They'll put it into Paddington Station at 8:50.
Oh, God. If you'll excuse me, I have a telephone call from Mr. London. I'll be back shortly.
All right. I'll finish up here while you're gone, and then we'll run out and get your things.
Hello. This is Miss Lovelock. I'd like to speak to Mr. Matthew Graves, please.
Mr. Graves? Hold on a moment, will you?
Surely.
Hello?
Hello, Matt. This is Ellen.
Everything going well?
Yes. I'm sending the trunk on in. It will arrive on the 8:15 Paddington Station.
Fine. Something's come up. I won't be here to receive it.
Oh?
I've got to arrange for the shipment to be received on the other side. You'll have to come to London yourself tonight. See that it gets out of the boat.
All right.
Now contact Captain Vogel on the schooner Melissa K. Thorpe. He'll be expecting you.
Captain Vogel, Melissa K. Thorpe.
Right. Got to ring off now.
You replace the receiver a little shakily. Stop for a moment to compose yourself. Now that the moment has come, you begin to wonder if you haven't been too sure of yourself, of Henry. And then you dismiss the thought. You kill another half hour before returning to the expressman. You're sure now, aren't you, Ellen, that once the way was open, Henry moved in the right direction and made your plans foolproof. At 7 o'clock, as the baggage man turns off the highway down the road to the old house, it's dark as you expected. You're sure Miss Whitehead is asleep, that Henry has had the opportunity he needed to rob the safe and leave.
Miss,
pull up right here at the foot of the stairs.
Oh, I do. Well, lady home?
Yes, in her room. She's not well.
That's luck. Bad enough sloshing around on a night like this without her to contend with.
See, have my key? Yes, here it is.
After you, miss.
The trunk's there by the library door.
The Turn on the light, please.
Huh. Oh.
The expressman doesn't know when he smiles. Watch him ease the trunk out, down the stairs, hoist it onto his truck. You close the door. Then as you step back into the library.
Miss Ellen.
Henry, what are you doing?
I've got it all arranged for us, Miss Ellen.
What? Henry, you're finished to stay.
That's right. Look. Look, over 600 pounds. And a good bit of jewelry beside. You won't have to worry about money anymore.
Henry. You did this for me. Oh, you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
We'll make it you and I, Miss Ellen. They'll never catch
no,
us.
No, Henry. It's all wrong. Miss Whitehead will
worry about her. She's gone.
Gone? She said she was going to stay in bed all evening.
She changed her mind again. Decided to go to Stone Ridge after all.
Strange.
Strange or not, that's what she did. Drove her over myself. Now look, Miss Ellen, I'm taking this money and jewelry. Nothing's going to stop me.
I should, Henry. I should stop you. But I can't. Now it's all my fault. I'm responsible for this. Henry, go. Go quickly. Keep the money, the jewelry, but run. Run, Henry.
I'm not going without you, Miss Ellen.
Please, I won't tell a soul. Go on.
We'll run together, Ellen.
No, it's better this way. I'll meet you in London, the Dorking Hotel. Please, Henry, you must go.
I'm not leaving without you. That's final.
You stare at him angrily, confused. His being here, his refusal to leave without you ruins everything, doesn't it, Ellen? Somehow you've got to get him away from the house. Frighten him into running. You move quickly to the telephone desk where Miss Whitehead keeps a revolver. If he thinks you're going to turn him in, he'll run, won't he, Ellen?
Now, what are you doing? Oh, a gun, is it?
Henry, I'm giving you a last chance. If you don't go now, I have to call the police.
Now, you wouldn't do that to Henry Macklin,
Henry,
would you?
Henry, I'm warning you. Stay away from me.
You're in this just as deep as I am, Miss Ellen. Up to your pretty neck in this affair.
Get back, Henry.
Give me that.
You fool, I didn't.
You stare down at him, shocked, realizing slowly that he's dead, that you've killed him. More than that, Ellen, you've ruined everything. Henry will be found here now. And how will the missing paintings be explained? Then suddenly it hits you. Henry could have had an accomplice. Yes. Someone who was here with him when you came in. Someone who rushed past you, fled with the paintings under his arm. That's it, isn't it? You're sure it'll work. Sure they'll believe you. Yes, they must believe you, Ellen. And a quarter of an hour later, when Constable Findlay answers your frantic call and rushes to the house, you're sure that your story rings true.
You say you came in and found Henry at the ball.
Yes, only a moment after the expressman left with my baggage. And I saw him in there. I was terrified, Mr. Findlay. And the other man rushed past me out the door. I didn't get a good look at him.
And somehow you remember the gun.
Yes, I knew Miss Whitehead had a revolver, the new one.
You faced Henry.
That's right. I was shocked. I couldn't believe he'd do a thing like this after the way she took him in and gave him another chance. Oh, I could think I was calling the police. I started to pick up the phone. He lunged at me.
Well, it's pretty clear what he was after. Henry had Miss Whitehead's money and jewels on him. As for his accomplice and the paintings, we'll send an alarm out on him right away. Let's see now. You'd plan to leave for London on tonight's train.
Yes.
You realize, of course, that we might have to keep you here a while.
Keep me. But it's terribly important that I leave for London tonight. It's about a new position.
I see. Of course, Miss London. Well, I suppose I could take your deposition, the inquest, have you give us a formal statement exactly the way things happened.
Oh, I'll be glad to do it, Mr. Finn.
I'd like to help you under the circumstances. All right, Miss Lovelock. We'll drive you down to the constabulary. I'll call the coroner. Have someone take your statement.
Oh,
fine. Oh, by the way, Miss Whitehead will have to be notified. Where is she?
Henry said he'd go over to Stone Ridge for the Garden Club banquet. She'll be back tomorrow.
Good. I'll see you first thing.
You accompany the constable to the village, his office. Attend to the deposition. The procedure is brief and official. And you wait nervously as the constable reads it over and finally looks up at you.
Well, I can say everything seems to be in order, Miss Lovelock.
Oh, fine. I'm through now.
Right. Sorry you had to be put to all this inconvenience. Now, pleasant journey to London.
And now, a tip for you drivers who want to keep that light new performance in your car and also keep repair bills down. Be sure to protect your motor with the improved type Signal motor oil that won't break down under heat. Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil. Because it combines 100% pure paraffin base with scientific compounds, Signal Premium does things for your motor that oil alone cannot do. One compound, for instance, was specifically developed to prevent the formation of harmful gum and varnish. Another compound in Signal Premium actually removes carbon. And still another compound protects costly bearings from corrosion. So why trust the protection of your modern motor to old-fashioned oil, when you can now get this improved type Signal oil that does so much more than just lubricate? For your next oil change, change to Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil at a Signal service station.
So you're in the clear now, aren't you, Ellen? And even through your nervousness on the train trip to London, you find that you're pleased with yourself. Everything is going so smooth. In London, you hurry to the baggage office. There's only one thing left to do now. Claim the trunk addressed to Matt and have it taken aboard the ship bound for France, where you'll meet him. The aged little expressman attending the freight office seems to look at you oddly as you make inquiries about the trunk. But a moment later, he's nodding his head amiably.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Chap. If you'll just step around to this door. Yes, she is, Inspector.
Inspector?
That's right, miss. My Maitland, Scotland Yard. We got a call from a Constable Finley. Seems he wanted you detained.
Detained? I made my statement.
So you did. But it didn't include quite everything. You didn't explain about the trunk.
The trunk? Why, it's here.
Yes, we found that out from the express company. We've already opened.
Oh.
But by the way, who's Matthew Graves? What does he have to do with this?
He arranged to ship the trunk across the channel. But it was all a mistake. If you'll let me, I can explain.
Can you now? Let's see if you can. You know, this was all rather clumsy of you, Miss Lovelock. Constable Finley started adding things up when he found some of your personal things and a batch of paintings on the ground outside the library window.
What?
Yes. He went back to the house after he put through a phone call to Stonebridge. Learned that Miss Whitehead wasn't there. Had never been there.
Not there. But Henry told me.
There we are, Miss Lovelock. Can you explain this? Look inside your trunk.
That's why Henry lied. He killed her.
Oh, come now, miss. Let's not try to blame poor Henry for everything. This is one murder you're going to have to explain.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil, and fine quality automotive accessories. Remember, if you would like the fun of having your friends hear a limerick of yours on The Whistler, the address to which to send it is Signal Oil Company, Los Angeles, 55, California. All limericks become the property of Signal Oil Company. Those selected for use on The Whistler will be chosen by our advertising representatives on the basis of humor, suitability, and originality. So, of course, they must be your own composition. Featured in tonight's story were Peggy Weber, John Hoyt, Verna Felton, and Ed Begley. The Whistler was produced by George W. Allen, directed by Sterling Tracy, with tonight's story by Harold Swanton, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler is entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Remember, at this same time next Sunday, another strange tale by The Whistler.
Yes, I... T-N-A-L.
Signal gasoline.
Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to the Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Keith Walker's drama at the races. Death at half a length. Starring Greg Morris. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company. Also by Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, Schenley Industries, Matus Wine, and International Harvester. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Comparing the total cost of ownership is the only way to be sure you get your money's worth when buying a new car. And Ford says there are three important considerations that make up the total cost of ownership: purchase price, operating economy, and trade-in value. Don't overlook that last one, trade-in value. I'd like to give you some interesting facts about trade-in that are difficult for the average consumer to come by. Like the fact that based on a national average of NADA wholesale prices, both the 1973 Torino and the 1973 Gran Torino returned more of their original purchase price than their closest sales competition. The facts speak for themselves. A solid, well-made car will generally return more at trade-in. Ford says that's one of the reasons why Torino is the best-selling car in its class.
The closer you look, the better we look.
Someone's out to kill Pleasure Honey, and nobody knows why. You're about to enter the world of horse racing, where the thoroughbred is king, and man is but to serve.
Sutton Krasny! Hey, anybody seen Krasny?
Down here, nobody...
Krasny, get your rear end out here.
Jim Howard, get out of this store.
You see this? I know you said it.
I don't know what you're raving about, Howard, but I've had enough of you. Howard, you're crazy. Help somebody.
All right. Break it up. Come on, Mr. Howard, now stop me.
Krasny, get this madman out of here.
You've had a grudge against me for this whole season, Krasny. Now you're threatening to kill one of my horses.
Kill one of your horses?
What do you mean, Mr. Howard? This. I found it stuck in Pleasure Honey's stall.
Let me see. Howard scratched Pleasure Honey or she died.
Let me see that. There's no signature. What makes you think this would be me?
Because you tried to buy that horse and you've been sore at me ever since.
Oh, Howard, take your empty head out of here.
Mr. Howard, this should be looked into. Aren't you running Pleasure Honey in the next race?
I am. Then I plan to have her win, Sutton. Remember that. Let's go, Hasman.
Jim, I know you and Krasny have been at one another, but there's nothing on this note to say it was him. Maybe it's just a crank.
No. Look at this.
Get out of Holly Hill or we'll ruin you.
Yeah, well, that came a couple of days ago in the mail. One might be a crank. Two's a threat.
Yeah, I can't disagree. Okay, I'll get some men posted. That is, unless you're thinking of scratching Pleasure Honey.
Oh, no. Nobody pushes Big Jim Howard around.
Scotch and soda, Mr. Howard. Anything else?
No. Here, boy.
Thank you, sir. Sure hopes Pleasure Honey wins. I got some dollars riding on her.
Yes. Thanks.
I got men posted from the turn to the finish line.
Anything happens, your butt is in a sling. Turn the speaker up.
Every day and sincerely on the rail,
Going into the far turn, it's Pleasure Honey in front by 3/4 of a length. Lord Thomas is second by a head. King's Ransom third by a neck. Riley's Luck fourth by 2.5 lengths. High Hopes is fifth. Sincerely sixth on the outside. Then Every Day on the Rail, High Hopes, and So Soon. Around the turn, it's Pleasure Lady in front by a neck. King's Ransom is second by a length and a half. Lord Thomas third by a half length. Riley's Luck fourth by a half length. Every Day is fifth by a half, and So Soon. Into the stretch. It's Pleasure Honey in front on the rail by a head. King's Ransom second by a length. Riley's Luck third on the outside by a length. Lord Thomas fourth. And Every Day on the rail. Now it's Riley's Luck in front. Pleasure Honey is second. And here comes So Soon on the outside. It's Riley's Luck, So Soon. And wait, something's wrong. Pleasure Honey fell.
Halsman, I did it. I killed my horse.
Riley's Luck is the winner, followed by So Soon and King's Ransom. Pleasure Honey never got to the finish line. Looks like the horse never had a chance. Died instantly. Billy Bangle, the jockey, apparently
is not hurt.
He's
walking
away.
What are you doing?
No picnic for us today.
Now, one minute you're listening to the horse race, and the next you think you're at Indy.
Now, that race may just have cost my company $100,000.
Here, honey, this is for you.
Oh, George, what a nice surprise. What is it?
It's a tire gauge.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What's a tire gauge?
Well, you check your tire pressure. Well, it helps you get better mileage.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got it free from our participating international dealer just for looking at the new international travel law.
A new international travel law?
Yeah.
What's a travel law?
Well, it's something like our old station wagon.
Our old station wagon?
Except the travel law's a foot and a half shorter, so it's much easier for you to park.
Our old station wagon?
Yeah, and it has 20% more room inside. More room for you and the kids, more room for groceries. We'll get lots more use out of it.
Our old station wagon?
And right now, until July 20th, you get 4 Firestone gas-saving steel-belted radial tires on most models at no extra cost.
But where is...
And they're worth $290, suggested retail price.
George, where's the new travel law?
Right outside the window.
No. Oh, George, it's different.
I know.
I like different.
I know.
Different, all right.
I'll get to the point, Doc. How did Pleasure Honey die?
Your horse was murdered, Mr. Howard, with this.
May I see that?
Hey, that's evidence.
Who are you?
That's all right, Lester. Jason Kelly. He's an insurance investigator.
You track security, Lester?
That's right.
He used to be, if I have anything to say about it.
We did the best we could, Mr. Howard. I don't see
how... That is rotten. They killed my horse right in front of your men. Explain that.
I'll see to the horse. Doc, let's get it in the truck. Mr. Kelly, may I have the dart?
Sure, sorry. You mind telling me how the horse was killed?
Well, the vet thinks there's curare on the tip.
Thanks.
Is anyone going to introduce me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Anna Gregory, Jim Howard.
Miss Gregory, just a little upset at the moment.
Oh, I understand. You know who did it?
There's another owner, a guy named Sutton Krasny, who's been itching to put me out of business.
Any proof of that?
Just 2 letters I got.
Letters?
Yeah. Lester Hasman's got them. Both of them threatened to ruin me, and the last one warned. If I ran Pleasure Honey, they'd kill her. That horse was one of my favorites. I just hit it to lose her.
I understand. But there is one thing.
Oh, what's that?
From the looks of it, the company will have to pay off. And $100,000 is a lot of weeping money.
Jason, why did you do that to the poor man?
You mean about the money?
Well, yes. I thought it was mean.
Well, I'll tell you something. So did I. But I wanted to see his reaction.
And it seemed genuine to me. Besides, he was with the security man when the horse was killed.
Lovely lady, I never said he did it. I just follow my hunches. Now, you want to do a chore for me?
Sure. You, want to make me deputy sneak?
You always were. Go see the jockey, Billy Bangle.
And what?
I don't know. Ask him about what happened. Butter him up.
Oh, I do know how to do that.
Oh, I know. See you later.
Right.
Come in.
Hi. Is Billy Bangle here?
Lolly Gregory?
Yes. Well, did somebody send a message ahead?
Oh, please come in. I'm sorry, but I am one of your biggest admirers. Figuratively speaking, anyway.
Well, thank you. Do you feel all right?
Yes, fine. Lucky, I guess I didn't even get a bruise. Well, I'm really flattered you would even come and ask.
Well, to be truthful, I came with a friend, Jason Kelly. His company holds the insurance on pleasure, honey.
Oh, I see. Well, it's still an honor. Would you sit down?
Thanks. Billy, have you been riding for Mr. Howard a long time?
Oh, it's Gregory. What are you doing here?
Oh, I just came to talk to Billy for a moment. Well, he took a bad fall.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you okay, Billy?
Oh, sure, Mr. Howard.
Are you going to feel like riding tomorrow?
Yes.
Good, good. Well, we'll see you at the ranch later on.
Yes, sir. I'm going out to the hospital, and then I'll be there about 7.
Okay. Give my best to your wife. My very best.
I will. Thank you.
Is your wife in the hospital, Billy?
Yes, yes, she has been for almost a year.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's not something we can do much about. Say, you know, she just loves you. She's seen almost every one of your pictures.
Oh, I hope that's not what put her in the hospital.
You're even funnier in person.
Thanks. Say, I've got an idea. Jason is sure to be tied up for a couple of hours, and if you're going to the hospital, maybe your wife would like a visitor.
Oh, would you? Well, she'd love that.
Why not?
Tasman? Oh, what can I do for you, Mr. Kelly?
Try Jason. Your secretary said I'd find you here.
Now, she'd give away state secrets if she ever had any. Yeah, let me wash away the track dust and we can talk.
Was Howard with you during the whole race?
Yep, all the time.
Well, you got any likely suspects?
One, but I'm just blowing smoke. A guy by the name of T.P.
T.P.? Who he?
Thomas Peterson, large-type bookie, does most of the business in town. Lays off plenty to the guys in the East. There's a rumor going around that Big Jim is into him for a bundle, so maybe he's putting the screws to Howard to get him to pay. Killing Pleasure Honey would be just the way to do it, too.
Yeah, maybe. But then again, Howard could have arranged to pick up the insurance and bail himself out.
Or Sutton Krasny could really hate Howard. You're going to need a basket to carry all your suspects in.
Oh, excuse me, Les. I know it's the men's room, but you gotta come quick.
Why, what's wrong?
Mr. Howard, he's been shot.
My daddy was a mighty fine man. He taught me a thing or two. A woman can hurt, so you stay on your guard and beach nut the tobacco you chew. Them times we'd go fishing, my daddy and me, he'd tell me everything you ever knew. You go after Big Mouth in close to the bank and beach nuts the tobacco you chew. Around here, beach nuts the word for chewing tobacco. And it's been that way, father and son, for a long, long time. What's the secret? It's the way beach nut just keeps getting better. Like beach nuts a lot moister these days, with more taste and less stems. Big improvements. You ought to try today's beach nut chewing tobacco. And now I'm a daddy with a son who's full grown, and I tell him a thing or two. Steered money don't win, evil women drink gin, and beach nuts the tobacco you chew.
Get that vet away from me. What do you think I am, some horse?
All right, Doc. Thanks, I'll give you a call later.
Okay, Lester.
What happened, Jim?
Oh, getting in my car when I heard a sort of a pop. And the next thing I knew, that dart was sticking in my shoulder. Well, it didn't hurt much, but whatever did, it was a lousy shot.
Or maybe it was just a warning.
Could be. I got another of those notes.
If Sunshine Lady runs tomorrow, she dies. Where was this?
On my windshield.
You gonna run Sunshine Lady tomorrow?
You better believe it. And don't you go thinking you can cancel a policy. I know my rights.
I wasn't thinking of that. But maybe some of our security people ought to come out. If that's all right with you, Les.
Yeah, sure. As long as they check with me. How much you got Sunshine Lady insured for?
$500,000.
Jase, you can't suspect Jim Howard.
Now, what gives you that idea?
I know that look. He's too sweet a man. Do you know that Billy Bangle's wife will never get out of the hospital, and Jim Howard's been taking care of her bills this whole year?
No, I didn't. What's wrong with it?
Parkinson's disease. Oh, I feel so sorry for her. She's a very sweet lady.
Okay, okay. Case for Jim Howard dismissed. For now. Come on.
Where are we going?
I'm going to give you your next lesson in sleuthdom.
How exciting. Anyone ever tell you you're an exciting burglar?
Shh. Only the police. So let's hope they don't repeat the compliment, okay?
You know, this is better than one of my old movies.
Don't I know it? Give me that key light of yours.
Hey, a little respect for a star, please. Here.
Now, here it is.
A typewriter? You drag me out here to type?
Right. Take a letter.
Chauvinist pig. Okay. What?
Howard's threat note. Scratch, pleasure, honey, or die.
There. How'd I do?
Stick to acting.
Oh. Hey, you shouldn't do that. It's illegal.
I won't tell if you don't. Look at this.
Bunch of darts. Darts?
Let's get out of here.
Well, aren't you going to take them with you? It's evidence.
Nope. Doesn't prove anything except Sutton Krasny owns a dart gun.
That shoots darts just like the one that killed Pleasure, honey.
Sure, but it could have been a plant. What we have to do is prove it.
How?
By catching him in the act tomorrow at the race.
Where have you been?
I have been talking with the famous TP, Ace Bookie.
Did he do it?
Naturally not. Bookies seldom kill anybody, especially horses. What I have to do now is find Jim Howard, in case he tries to follow through.
Wait a minute. You think he did it?
Absolutely.
Well, you're right, in a way.
There they go. Happy Harry, going to the front.
What do you mean, in a way?
Come on. I want you to meet a friend of mine.
Going into the park, sir, in the sunshine.
Lily, this is Jason. Jason, this is Bangle.
What?
She called me. Jason, it was Billy that killed Pleasure, honey. Wouldn't you?
But he's out there racing right now. He'll kill Sunshine Lady.
Maybe not, Mr. Kelly.
Your maybe might cost me $500,000, Mrs. Bangle.
Oh, Jay, shut up and enjoy the race. Come on, Sunshine Lady!
Sunshine Lady on the rail by a head, easy goer, second by a light. Happy Harry, third on the outside, then Pretty Day and Mother Mine. Now on the rail is Sunshine Lady and Easy Go. Coming down to the wire, it's Sunshine Lady and Easy Go. Sunshine Lady and Easy Go, head and head. And Sunshine Lady is the winner by a nose. We'll have the official results in just one moment.
All right, you scared the hell out of me. You happy?
Sure. I just won. Come on, let's go down to Billy's office, and Lily and I will explain everything. You see, Mr. Kelly, Billy did it for me. Howard told him that if he killed Pleasure, honey, he would continue to pay my hospital bills.
Lily, I couldn't.
I know, dear. That's why I asked Miss Gregory to bring me. I just knew you wouldn't.
So there wasn't any gun, was there? You placed the dart yourself.
Yes. But I knew I couldn't do it a second time.
Jason, you mean you knew?
Not till just now. I figured Howard must have sent himself the notes and planted the darts in Sutton's office.
Well, what's that?
That should be Sutton Krasny taking his pound of flesh. Shall we see?
Howard, get your horses off this raceway. I don't ever want to see you again. Hey, Kelly, you did this.
Nope. You did it yourself. I just let Sutton know.
I'll get you for this.
Forget it, Howard. You've lost the horse. But since the company doesn't have to pay, we won't file charges.
No charges?
No. But you want a big purse today. Make sure you share it with Billy.
Yeah.
And there's something else.
What?
Find yourself another insurance company.
Matus is an old-world rosé wine people enjoy everywhere. Like down in the Delta, they know the blues are what you make it, and that the light, easy-to-like taste of Matus rosé makes the meal.
Hey, hey, Matus rosé.
Man, on the West Coast, Matus is out of sight, but you see it everywhere. Matus Rosé is perfect for that elegant evening on the town. Matus, the rosé wine that goes with everything good, anywhere, anytime at all.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Death by Half a Length is an original radio drama by Keith Walker. Greg Morris was heard as Jason Kelly. Featured in the cast were Julie Bennett, Lou Krugman, Harry Henson, Jerry Hausner, and Byron Kane. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Coulis, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Whistler, The Zero Hour, past episodes of this show, and thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all available for free at RelicRadio.com. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep them coming every week, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on the donate link while you're on the website. Your support makes it all possible. Thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.